I hope when we play it,
okay. Anyway, I try to record too. Okay, so right, let's look at what I want to do is to talk about the what we call it, the enclosure of the tabernacle. There's a message there. And actually, this is the problem of the church. Because the boundaries of the church have been destroyed. And because the boundaries of the church have been destroyed, we find that the testimony of the church have also been destroyed. So what is this boundary? That is the fence. That is the fence of the tabernacle. As we saw in Hebrews 9, the tabernacle is this, is the holy place and the most holy place. That's the tabernacle. What the Bible calls it, the sanctuary. Okay? This is the court of the tabernacle. So, there's a story of the king who made a feast and sent out invitations. There were three invitations. He went the first time, invited the people, they did not come. He sent another invitation and said, look, I have called the feast, my table is ready. And they did not come. Then there was a third invitation. And this one, he said, this one was no longer an invitation, it was a summon, it was a command. He says, go and bring the everyone you can find in the door, in the highways, in the byway, the lame, the halt, anyone you can find. And you know, so you find that there are three invitations, and those three invitations represent the three courts of the tabernacle. And we are being invited into the bedroom. So this is the reception of the house. It's like I was telling the brother, you know, when I went to Buckingham Palace, you know, in England, I was by the gate of the place and I took a photograph. But of course, what would I tell you? I said I went to Buckingham Palace, but I was outside the gate. I didn't even enter into the house. I don't even know how the house looks like. I don't know the kind of toothpaste the Queen uses. I don't even know what her eating utensils look like. But I think the Buckingham Palace, isn't it so? That is the situation of most of us who are Christians. We are outside the outer court, and we can say so many things about God, but we have not gone inside. So our relationship with God is still peripheral. Okay? So there's an invitation. Say, many are called, few are chosen, and fewer. The remnant are the ones that are found faithful. So, those are the ones that come into the house, the real house. And the house is the bedroom. It's different from the sitting room. Alright, so you need to come in, because that's where the king says, he said, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. Okay? By the way, the cherubim speaks of the nature of the soul. Alright, we will touch that tomorrow when we get there. The cherubim speaks of the nature of the soul. Okay, so the soul must be changed into the nature of the cherubim, and it is in that soul that God will come. Alright, so it's not just something flying somewhere, it is the nature of the soul. The opposite of the cherubim is the nature of the beast. So it's either the soul becomes like a beast, or it becomes like the cherubim. And the cherubim have an insatiable desire and hunger for God. If you look at them, they're always looking in fellowship. You know, so they're not tired. You know, so of course, after 1 hour now, our capacity in God is tired. We want to go and go and do something else. Okay, so that shows that we still need a lot. You know, we need, our appetite needs to be changed. We need an appetite for God. You know, so that's the thing. Now, this was a white fence. So, if you are looking at the tabernacle from far, the first picture that you get is the picture of what? You saw the white fence. And that is of the testimony of the saints. And that testimony today is being attacked. This fence is in some places black. You know, Bible says we should be unspotted, is it not? From the world. And remember, this fence is the closest to the world. So if you are, it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not. Yes. So this is the defense of the. So what should be my defense? What? Righteousness. If my righteousness is not righteousness, then the Bible says, if the righteous, if the foundations are removed, what can the righteous? So, in fact, that's going forward. The foundations, righteousness must have a foundation. If not, it will not stand. You understand? So these things must have a foundation. Now, what is the foundation of the fence? The foundation of the fence, we are pillars. Was the pillar. There were 20 pillars this way and 10 pillars this way. 20 and 10. Alright? When you add the 10 with the 20, what do you get? 30. So you see another number. You see, so this is one of the major numbers you find in the scripture. You find 30. But let's still stay with the pillars. So these pillars had, it has two legs, and there was what they call, there was a pin, something, the socket, yes, that entered into the earth. So this is the earth. Okay, and this socket had to go into the earth. This socket was made of brass. All right, and the pole was made of brass, but it had hooks, and then the hooks were made of silver. Alright, so you can see the combination brass and silver. Brass always speaks of judgment, so you can see the message of the tabernacle. My righteousness will be standing as long as I walk in judgment to the earth. If I compromise with the earth, my righteousness will be defied and the fence will fall. So we see that in many places the fences are all falling. And there was a man, isn't it Nehemiah, who said that the fences, the gates of Babylon, of Jerusalem, are all destroyed. Okay, I'm falling. And that is what we find today in the church, that the righteousness in the church has been destroyed. And it's because we have become a friend of the world instead of being the enemy of the world. I say that if you love the world, then you will be an enemy of God. You know, but I find that I like the world. And one of the problems of the end time church is that amongst us, we love the world. We love the world. That's why I said the problem of the end time church is the problem of consecration. We are lovers of pleasure more than lovers. So the Western world, you know, is, we all complain about it. But the truth of the matter is that the world is being Islamized. The Judeo-Christian culture is being eroded because the strength of the Judeo-Christian culture was righteousness that stood against the world. Okay? And we find that has been eroded. So one of the things that we need to address is that we need to go back to these foundations. You know? And what is the foundation? I must judge the world. If I'm a friend of the world, my testimony of righteousness will not stand. You know, and you can see the sockets, and you can see the bars, and then the bars are being held in place by these hooks. The hooks are of silver. Silver's piece of redemption. Piece of redemption. And redemption means change of ownership. Okay? Bible says you are bought with a price. You are not your own. But today, one of the major concepts you find in the world is that we are our own. Okay? So, hey, someone says, my life. And there is that concept, Nike, just do it. You know? So, the current culture of humanism, the modern philosophy now that is reigning is the doctrine of secular humanism. That is, God. You don't even mention God. They are walking night and day to take anything called God out of human life. You know, you go somewhere to pray. They say, a few days ago, we went somewhere. They said they want to make an invocation. Every man, you pray to God. It's a moment of silent meditation. You don't pray anymore. Everybody pray to the God you want. You need. I will give you 2 minutes to just pray to the God you want. Oh yes, because your God is going to offend the other one. All right. So you don't put the Bible, but you can keep the Quran. All right. The Bible offends, so take away that offensive book and all that. So this is all that is going on, and it is based on this doctrine of the loss of the message of redemption. So you thought that every Christian, you know, I decide what I want. You know, if I like this, I do it. If I don't like this, so as long as that is there, then our righteousness will not. So in other words, there are two pillars of righteousness. One is to judge the world, to hate the world. It's a love not the world or the things. Do you hear that message? When did you hear it last? When did you hear that scripture last? Can you think? Try to remember within yourself. So that message is lost in the church. So rather we are competing to love the world, to the things of the world. Our children, we are competing to, you know, to make sure they look very much like the world and all that and so on. So those are principles we need to go back to. And then the other one is the principle of redemption, that I am not my own. You know, like the question the little girl asked, why are we in this world? The reason is that we are in this world as a pilgrim.
Amen.
How many people know that you are a pilgrim? That is, you know, they have what they call sleeper cells. That is, God sent you to the world for a purpose. Then we come into the world, we forget about God, and then we get lost in the world. Okay? So that means we do not have this message of redemption, that we are bought with a price. Someone sent us into the world to fulfill a particular purpose. So we need to go back to our purpose. We must find our purpose in God, the reason for our being. So that is the message of this board. Now let's go. The number 20 also speaks of redemption. The number 20 speaks of redemption. And in the number 20, you have 4 and 5. Alright? In the number 30, you have 6 and 5. Okay, 4 is the number of tribulation. There are 4 horns at the altar. There are 4 horns here. Okay. And then, where is the? Okay, sorry. This is where you have the horns here. Sorry. Okay. And then there were 4 pillars here. 1, 2, 3, 4. And there were. Something is at the back. Okay, I'm not really talking about the soul now. So let's clean this. Okay, so 4 is the number for tribulation. And here, there were 4 pillars here. So the Bible says that through much tribulation will enter into the kingdom. Again, that's another concept that is lost in the church. Because you are a sweatless winner. Are you not a sweatless winner? Yeah, brother, are you not a sweatless winner? So we are a sweatless winner. There's a winner who doesn't struggle. That is, Christ has struggled for you, so you just walk into him. Well, that's not what the Bible is saying here. He's saying there are four pillars. It's, so you come into the kingdom with what? Much tribulation.
Yes.
So he said, if they have called their Lord Beelzebub, you just go and find out what they're going to call you. Okay? So the gospel is being turned upside down. So what you are hearing is not the gospel. And the whole place is filled with motivational speakers. What do you think the motivational speaker is going to tell you? You're a sweatless winner. You will be a champion for all your life. That word is not the gospel.
Yes, sir.
It is a corruption of the gospel. Because the gospel is saying what? I must decrease. So Christ, if for Christ to go to come in, man must go down.
Right.
So this is the message of death to self. Right from the, as you're coming in, he's telling you, you must die. But that has been, we have changed it, and we bring us also. So that principle you can see, 4. And then 5 speaks of grace. So the grace of God walking through tribulation to the flesh will bring forth the redemption, the salvation of the soul. Okay, so the redemption has to do with the soul. Because remember, we said the New Testament is about the... You see, I will put my law in the mind. Okay? So you begin the journey that the mind might be saved. So it is only through tribulation, God judging the flesh, that the grace of God comes in to produce that redemption of the soul. Something else. Now, the length of this tabernacle was 100 cubits. So that's the other number we need to look at. 100. That's the length of the tabernacle was 100. And then the width of it was 50. Okay. So we have the number 100. We have the number 300. So 50 and 50 and 100 and 100 give us 300. Then we also have the number 50. So those are the three numbers. Now, the Bible says that Abraham, when he was 100 years old, something happened to him. What was it? Okay. So if Abraham was a sweatless winner, God promised him a son when he was 75. How long did he wait to get the son? So was Abraham a sweatless winner? he received the promise and he had to
wait 25 years.
That's right. Wait 25 years
before
to get his son, for God to fulfill his promise. And someone says, all the people that received the promise from God, God has already answered all the promises. So they say, Abraham, come, can you? Your own promise is for 25 years. My own promise is only for today. God has already answered my prayer. So I'm not really sure God spoke to you. But this man waited for 25 years. And when he was 100, the Bible says he had a son. All right. So the number 100 speaks of sonship. So the message, the tabernacle has a message. So if you are coming to the tabernacle, God has a promise for you. What is the promise? I want you to be a son. You know what it means to be a son? He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. So as I come into the tabernacle, I'm being called to sonship. That is the promise. And what does it mean to be a son? To be a son means to be a joint heir with Christ. So we are being promised a position in Christ, which none of us in this room understands. Okay? Because it's a position in the Godhead. Amen. And it's something way beyond our imagination that we are called to be sons, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So that is the message. So today, many people have different messages, different things that are pursuing. Someone said, my burden is to feed all the hungry people in Calgary. And when I do it, I'm doing the work of God. Well, thank God for that. But that cannot be the direction. So the direction, or if you like to use the word apostolic direction. Okay, the apostolic direction is that direction that runs from the beginning through to the end. It's the pillar, it's the main road. And what is that? That God has called us to be a son. God is looking for a son on the earth. And that son is Christ. And that Christ is a many-membered body. And Christ means there's a pattern. There's one son. So every son must look like him. Again, there are people who are reducing that. They say, no, you cannot be like Christ. That means they are rejecting the message of sonship. So there are many people who have gone, they are running, they have a message, but that message is not the message from God. Now, let's look at something else. Let's look at the number 50. 50 is short of sonship. Alright? And the number 50 means 20. 10th means 5. Alright? That's why I have the pentagon. It's 5. 5-sided. So 50 means 50 days. Alright, so this is of the experience of Pentecost. So the Pentecostal experience can never bring you to sonship. I will find that many today in the church are running with the Pentecostal message, the Pentecostal experience. And the end time church is sliding back to the Pentecostal message. There are a lot of people who want power, signs and miracles. They want so many things. And they are not willing to be a son. So for each individual, you must be able to differentiate the message of Pentecost with the message of sonship. So God is not calling us to the place of signs and wonders. He's not calling us to the place of miracles. He's not calling us to the place where we come into this new experience. Because the Pentecost is the experience of baptisms. It's the experience of the laver. That is where the soul comes into the realm of the spirit. The soul has been functioning under the dominion of darkness, under the dominion of unclean spirits. By the way, every soul is in the spirit. Every soul is in the spirit. I didn't explain. If I explain that, it will take time. So tomorrow we will deal with that. Every soul is in the spirit. The Bible says, "You are not in the flesh. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." All right. Now, every soul must the divine order is the spirit must rule over the soul. The soul rules over the body. All right. And the Spirit of God rules over the spirit. Alright? But you see, when a man comes into the world, when a child is born, comes into the world, the soul is not in fellowship, the spirit is not in fellowship with the Spirit of God because of sin. So as long as sin is there, that soul is now being ruled over by the experience of Ezekiel 14, where he says, I will
arise.
I will be like the Most High. So, that soul is in the spirit, but it's under the dominion of spirits of darkness. Alright? So, when you say a soul is in the spirit, what it means under the Spirit of God. That's when you become born again and you receive the baptism. Then there's a change of government over the soul. Alright? So, that is taking it a bit higher, but we will look at it. So, 50 speaks of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is when the Spirit of God comes into the spirit of man. Alright, so that is, the soul is being taken into the spirit. Alright, and that is the experience. But that experience is in the outer court. And because of that experience, the Spirit of God coming into the spirit of man, we have the manifestations of speaking in tongues, miracles, all the gifts of the Spirit, all those things. Those are outer court experiences, which are supposed to bring the soul into the realm of the Spirit, where the soul is being fed and lighted by the Spirit of God. This is the light of the Spirit. This is the light of the Word of God. Alright, so when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's supposed to push us further into God. But we find that in the church today, what people have is what Brother says we call psychological baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, say after me, la 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 la, shabba 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 shabba, you have baptized the Holy Ghost. Alright, so people are learning how to speak it, but have not received the power, you know. And some of us who have been baptized, we are dried up. The power is gone. The experience is gone. And there's no flow in the spirit. So 50 is not 100. And it is very important that we're able to differentiate the message of Pentecost and the message of sonship. 50 also speaks of jubilee.
Yeah.
50 is the message of jubilee. Okay, so it speaks of jubilee and it speaks of Pentecost. Jubilee is promise of deliverance, that every man is going to go back to his father's inheritance. And what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is that we will be the dwelling place of God. Our inheritance is that we will be partakers of Christ. Okay, divine nature. You know, Brother Mark was, you know, reading all the scriptures. That's our inheritance. That's what we are called for. You know. And by the way, in Africa now, every country is into jubilee. 50 years of independence. So even naturally in Africa, they say this is the African Renaissance. Every African economy is booming. It's 6.5%, 8%, 7%. While in your country here, you guys are doing 3%, 0.3%. We are doing 8%. So if you want to invest any money now, you get the fastest return in Africa. So even naturally, there is a time of jubilee. Amen. Okay. So 50 speaks of that promise of jubilee. So as you come to God, God is saying, I promise you that you are going to be a son. I promise you I'm going to deliver you. He said that the soul shall not be, the land shall not be sold forever. That is the soul. So even though darkness has come into the soul, that soul will not be. So in other words, when God calls you, He's calling you with a promise that you lay hold. And He said that we have an anchor of the soul. You know, there's an anchor. we have it as an anchor of the soul. Praise the Lord. Now, the other number that we need to look at is number 300. The perimeter of the tabernacle is 300. And who can tell us about 300 children? Hello. Come. Come and tell us, who knows what is special about 300? About the number 300 in the Bible.
Because it's good.
Yes? Yes, what is special about 300? What's the story? There's a very special story in the Bible that about 300. Yes? You don't know about 300? Gideon's 300. Yes. Gideon's 300. Gideon had an army of 300. And with that army of 300, he defeated an army of a multitude. Okay? So the number 300 speaks of what? Deliverance. I have some people that are going for deliverance. It's a waste of time. Because God has called you into deliverance already. So as the word of God comes into you, it brings a deliverance to you. So we are walking, that is experience. So deliverance is not what you do for two hours, then you have delivered the person. Every day we are being delivered from darkness, and we are being brought into light. Amen. So this is the enclosure. And you know, Noah's ark was 300. The dimension was 300. So God is saying that this is the ark. This is the place where you will be, and you'll be delivered from all the trouble. So in other words, this is the city of refuge. Alright? Christ is the city of refuge. Where if a man is being pursued by the avenger, you come into Christ, you say, as long as the high priest is alive, the avenger of blood cannot touch you. So many of us do not know our authority in Christ. Okay, so we say we are believers, but we are afraid. You know, someone has a dream, say, oh, you are going to die tomorrow. Or they have spoken to you, say, oh, your grandfather died, so and so, your brother died, so and so. So and so is the history of your family. You say, oh my God, what can I do? You run from here to there because you do not know that you are in the city of refuge. I say, as long as the high priest is alive, our high priest does he die?
No.
As long as Christ is alive, we are guaranteed safety. Amen.
Amen.
So we are in the city of refuge. You know, so you don't need to run from pillar to post looking for deliverance. We are in, oh yes, we are in the place of deliverance. So if you go to God, we can experience deliverance as a way of life. Praise God. So that's the other message of the tabernacle. By the way, let me give you the scriptures I didn't give you, so because you need to look at it later. If you're writing the Exodus 27:9-19. I'm looking at the time. Okay, it's 5:21. We'll close in the next 10 minutes so we can pray and then close, clean all the place. Exodus 27:9-19. Exodus 38:9-20. 38:9-20. Exodus 31:1-11. Exodus 36:1-7. The Exodus 38:21-23. Okay, so let's come to this gate. Again, we're going back to that gate. So I assume this is the gate. And already we have already discovered that there are four pillars. Okay, so this is the entrance into the court, into the tabernacle, or four. Already dealt with the number four, and then now there was a cloth that served at the entrance of that tabernacle, and it was made up of four colors. There are four colors. One, it was made of white. Sorry, let me clean. It was made of white, which piece of righteousness. It was made up of purple, which piece of authority over darkness. over darkness. It was made up of scarlet. This was the redemption of the blood of Jesus. Redemption of the blood. And then it was made up of gold. Which speaks of the nature of God. Okay, so there are four colors that were woven to make up the... So you see the white again as a basis, and the purple speaks of authority. And the authority is the authority over darkness. The Bible says that when we are tried, when we go through a time of trial, of temptation, and when we overcome, that a crown of righteousness is given. Again, many Christians do not have authority because they do not overcome. And in a locality, the authority of the assembly is in reference to how much you overcome the ruling spirit. So in this town, there are spirits that are ruling. I've been there for just one or two days, but I can identify some of them. Masonry is one of the spirits you are contending with. The spirits of the First Nation, and the spirit of sorcery, is Baal worship. They worship the sun. Alright? And that thing goes with idolatry. If you look at them, their lives are vagrant. And it goes with what happens with idolatry. And they are materialistic. They worship enjoyment. Okay, pleasure. Those are hallmarks of Baal worship. Sexuality and materialism and violence. Those are things. And you see them, they are violent people. They are warlike and all those things. So those are spirits that you are dealing with. And Calgary is one of those major of cities. So there is a ruling spirit over this town. And your Christianity has not started if you have not addressed those spirits. You know, so that is what the purple means. Authority of darkness. Authority over darkness. That is what the purple speaks of. Remember, Aaron's rod was left there all through the night. So it was in the morning that he received his, he said, blossomed. You know, so the blossoming of the church, of your life as a Christian, is going to be as you contend against the spirits and overcome them, then the authority of the church will be established. So there is no shortcut. You cannot judge a spirit you submit to, or that you give life. That's the rule of warfare. If you want to overcome a spirit, there's a man called Mahatma Gandhi. He told the Indians, "You cannot be wearing British suit, British cotton, and you say you want independence. If you want independence, you stop wearing British cotton."
And you had to get me
a new clothes. Oh yes, they got rid of them. They bought all the British and they started wearing their own clothes. So we Christians, we say we want to overcome the world, but we give life to the spirits of the world that were not serious. So if you want to overcome the world, we must stop feeding those spirits. You cannot bind the strong, destroy the goods of the strong man until you bind the strong man. So those are those principles. And you see it at the gate. That is the message. As you're coming in, you say, look, this is a place where people contend over darkness. You know, and the darkness is within. The scarlet speaks of redemption, or you see the blood, the authority of the blood upon every vessel, upon every article. And then and all this are being worked in so that we can have the nature of God. And the nature of God is that nature of hating unrighteousness and loving righteousness. I think we've practically covered the essentials of the dimensions of the tabernacle that brings us in. Now, the tabernacle separates the Egypt. This is Egypt. And then this is where you call it Israel, and then Judah. There's a difference between Israel and Judah. Judah is a piece of the remnant. So in the church, there's still a church. So God is calling the elect out of the elect. So out of those who are elected, He has called another elect. So He says Israel and Judah. And then outside you have Egypt. And He says in this Egypt is where our Lord was crucified. So we cannot be comfortable in Egypt. If we are comfortable in Egypt, then our Christianity has a problem. So I think we'll close at this point. Tomorrow we will try to address the articles in the tabernacle, and then we'll relate it to the soul. Remember, all these things we are looking at us, because we are that tabernacle, we are that temple. The soul of man has different natures. The soul of man has 6 senses. 5 are in the dimension of the flesh. 1 is in the dimension of the spirit, and that is the mind. The mind is a sense organ. You know, tomorrow we'll be looking at all those. The soul of man can only function at 3 levels: at the realm of carnality, at the spiritual soul, and then that which is in the middle. That's a mixture of both spirit and, you know. So those are principles that tomorrow we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at how it is, and then we will go into the nature of the mind. How can we deliver the mind? Amen. How can the mind function as a priest? And we'll look at it. The mind is a dark place and must receive light. Amen. The salvation of the mind is light. Amen. Light must come into the soul. You look at this holy place, it's all dark, but there's light. So we must learn how to receive light. Amen. Because when we receive light, then the soul begins to rise into a different dimension. I was trying to play with the children, and I was asking them, when you put on the television, where are those pictures coming from? Did they just come from the station and enter the room? No. The pictures are in this room. All the television stations in your house are all in this station. Okay, they're here. If you tune the right frequency, you begin to receive the signals. So also, the soul is a signal board that receives information from God. We can hear God. You can hear God. You can see God. You can touch God. You can say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You can partake of God. And God can be real as the natural life is. So that's where we're being called. We're coming to that point where our spiritual senses will be open. Paul, I pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. God needs to quicken us. The soul needs to be aroused, needs to wake up. We need to, he said, "Come away, come up, come away." That song, maybe we will sing it. Come away, come and be with me. It's the soul. He said, "The winter has come and gone, and the summer has come, and we are not saved." So that the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. So I believe that's a prophetic word to us, to arise, to awake up. Our soul needs to rise and begin to respond to God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So maybe we'll sing that song, and then we can pray and then get the place ready.
voice of my love is heard in the land. Come away with me, come away with me. Set me aside as a sea.
Overshadow our souls, Lord God. We know that the wooing of the Spirit is taking place now. He's wooing the bride into the bridal chamber, that the consummation of the marriage can begin. But Lord God, the bride is distracted. We are distracted by so many things of life and so many passions of the world and passions of our flesh. My God, we are asking for the Spirit of the living God to move upon our souls, that we could be freed, Lord God. Let this be our liberty. Let this be our jubilee. Let this be the time, Lord God, that we would embrace the bridegroom. That we would embrace, Lord God, that the love of our life, that He would be our number one. Forgive us, Lord, for where we have not made the bridegroom our number one. Other things have crowded it out, Lord. My God, forgive us.
Amen.
Forgive us now. Forevermore forgive us.
Amen.
And deliver us, Lord God,
Amen.
From all of those passions
Amen.
Of the flesh and of the world that would draw our hearts away.
Amen.
For Lord God, the desire of our heart that we could be married to Christ. That Christ would marry the soul. And that the soul would be marriage material.
Amen.
That the soul would be worthy of the bridegroom.
Amen.
Worthy of marriage. That, Lord God, we could be unspotted, unblemished.
Amen.
My God, loose us now.
Amen.
Loose us now.
Amen.
From every... The Lord spoke a word to me before I came. He said, we must now, at this time, overcome ancestral curses. Lord God, we renounce the ancestry of our fathers, the ancestry of our country, the ancestry, Lord God, that would bind us to the earth. But I am born again. I am born of a spirit that is not of the earth, earthy, but Lord God, it is of the heaven, heavenly.
Oh, yeah.
My God, I want to be of one with Christ. I do not want to be one with my grandfather.
Hey. Amen.
I do not want to be one with my countrymen.
Amen.
I do not want to be one with the nations of this world. For Lord God, the kingdom of the Lord has become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and we shall rule and reign with Him forever. Lord God, now I want to rule over these passions. I want to rule over these desires. And Lord God, I do not want my children to suffer the way I did. Lord God, cut it off now. We are asking for the Spirit of the living God to come and to take the liberty in our soul to loose us now. Loose us now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, let the cords be broken that we may escape, that we may flee unto the mountain, that we may flee unto that high and lofty place where Zion's height, where Christ abides, that we may abide forever with the living Christ.
Amen.
Lord God, I want to be like You, like Christ. I do not want to be like the world. I do not want to be like my Father. In the name of Jesus, let the transformation, let the Word bring life in our soul. These are not just words that we are listening to. These are not just wonderful teachings. This is life. And let it be life in our soul. Life, life in our souls in Jesus' name. Let there be a transformation now. My God, we do not have another day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. We must have a transformation now. This is the appointed time.
Amen.
Let my change come.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Loose, loose, loose. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.